I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, that I may know them. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for bringing us here to your house. We ask your blessing upon us gathering here together. Bless each and every one of these wonderful people here today, both inside here, Lord, and those outside. We thank you, Father. Purify our hearts to come before your throne of grace, that we may more perfectly love you and more wholly magnify thy glorious name with all that we do, with all our hearts, minds, souls, and strengths, Lord. Help us, Lord, to glean from your word and acknowledge you more fully every day. We thank you for your presence here today. Through Christ our Lord we pray. Amen.
And if you'll join me, Dan, join me in the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Remember all the prayer requests there in your bulletin, and remember Ashley and our baby John that just got born. Keep him and her in your prayers as they grow, and Ashley continues to heal from that. We're so thankful for him and the Lord's mercy. Is there any other prayer requests that anybody's got this morning? Mildred and Joanne, we'll be praying for them. Colonel and Norma Dickey and their daughter. And also remember my grandfather, Dennis Davis, as he's getting over heart surgery. So keep him in your prayers. Any others? Dennis Davis, keep him in your prayers. Any others? Well, Imogene's birthday is today. Well, happy birthday, Imogene. Praise the Lord. Any others? You're having surgery Thursday. Okay, we'll be praying for you this Thursday. Any others? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, again for your grace and your love. That grace and love that surpasses all our human understanding, Lord, that you sent forth through Jesus, thy Son, when he died on the cross of Calvary, Lord, to bring our redemption. Lord, we thank you for that grace to sustain us every day down here below as we walk by faith, Lord, not by sight. Help us and increase our faith that we may be used by you for your glory and your kingdom, greater and greater. Lord, bless those that are sick. Excuse me. Lord, bless all those that's battling sickness around us, Lord, and lift them up. And Lord, bless those that's going into surgery. May the Lord, the doctor's hands be guided, and bless all those recovering from it, Lord, that your healing touch may be shown forth. We thank you, Lord, for the wonderful gifts you give us, and keep us all safe, but most of all, Lord, in thy perfect will. Bless each name that we've spoken here this morning, and those within our hearts, Lord, and those on the list. You know each and every need more deeply than we can comprehend, Lord, and we thank you for that. And Lord, we end this prayer with a prayer that thy Son Jesus Christ taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. If you got your Bibles with you this morning, if you'll turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I'll give you a second to find it. Once you do, if you'll stand with me and honor God's holy word. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The Lord tells us, he says, in chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, verse 1, if I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have a prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. This is the word of God. Let us treat it as such, and let's pray. Father, open your words to us, then we may more fully know you by the power of the sword of your Holy Spirit, Father God. Even the words as is preached this morning, Lord, and give us all attentive ears to you. Through Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. We come here to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and here in this part of 1 Corinthians, he's going over the gifts of the Holy Spirit. If you go back to chapter 12 and read over it later, he's going over the spiritual gifts. In verse 1, he says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were enticed and led astray to idols that could not speak. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, let Jesus be cursed. It's all centered around the Lord Jesus Christ, who redeemed us on the cross of Calvary and who keeps us by the blood of the Lamb. In verse 4, he says, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. In this chapter, read over it later on. We won't go through it. He's going over all the varying gifts of the spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit gives us. But they're all, as he said, of the same Spirit. That's God's Holy Spirit. In verse 27, he says, now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? There's all kinds of different things, gifts of this Holy Spirit that he gives us. Each one of us has something to do in the kingdom of God. We've got something down here below that God has given us to do. Mine may be different than yours. Yours is different than mine. We're all individuals. It says there, you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. We've all got different things to do. And those are wonderful, powerful gifts God gives us. But in verse 31, he says, but strive for the greater gifts. And I will show you a still more excellent way. The greatest gift of all is the gift of love that we just read about. And we're going to go right into. And back down there in chapter 14, he again goes into other gifts. But right here, he's going us the gift of love in chapter 13. The most excellent way, he says. And he goes into verses 1 through 3, and he's going to tell us the necessity of love. He says, if I speak in tongues of mortals and angels but do not have love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If you're doing these tongues of mortals and angels, speaking all these wonderful things, speaking the word of God, speaking to others around us, sharing God's love, but if we don't have that love, what does it say we are? We're a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And people nowadays, they love to use the word love. We say, well, I love tacos, or I love this. I sure do love that car. We don't love that car. At least I certainly hope not. If we do, there's some idolatry going on there. Love is a lot deeper than we use it in the English language. Jesus said in the book of 1 John, whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. Love is a divine thing. It's not just a mere feeling like we use it nowadays. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Out of love for God, it's going to change how we live. That love for God, Jesus died on the cross to give us. He says here, we need to share that love. But do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. When I was in the band in high school, they'd have them cymbals. They'd smash it, especially during a Star Spangled Banner and such. But if you just went around smashing that thing, that's about the ugliest thing I've ever heard in my life. They're not meant to be on their own. That's what we sound like. If we're trying to speak the words of God, if we're trying to tell others about the Lord and we don't have love for Him, that's about as much as we're getting done. It's a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. It sounds awful. We have to have the love of God in our heart and show that to those around us. And in verse 2, and if I have a prophetic powers, and down here in verse 1 of chapter 14, he speaks of this. He says, pursue love and strive for the spiritual gifts, and especially that you may prophesy. Understanding the word of God by the power of the Holy Spirit is a wonderful, powerful thing. These prophetic powers to speak the word and to show it forth and understand all mysteries, back in verse 2 of chapter 13. Understanding the word of God and God's ways. What a wonderful thing. We need that. We should crave that and want that and even have all knowledge to know what God's telling us in His Word. And if I have faith so as to remove mountains, Jesus said if we have the grain of a mustard seed, we can take this mountain, jump, and it'll jump. Why did He tell them that? It was after they could not heal. The apostles couldn't heal that little boy. They said, why couldn't we do it? It's because they were of little faith. This faith is a wonderful thing that we must have. It's vital for our life. We walk by faith, not by sight, the Bible tells us. Even if we have this faith so as to remove mountains, He says, but do not have love, I am nothing. It's a wholly necessary. It's 100%. It's the love of God. In verse 3, if I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. If we sell everything we have, give it all away, we don't love God and love our neighbor, we are nothing. We got nothing. He says there, even if we're martyrs, we turn over my body that I may boast. Turn it over to boast for the Lord, giving our lives up. But if we don't love God and our neighbor, we gain nothing. Over here in the Gospel of Matthew, we'll be right back there. We're going to turn to Matthew 22 and verse 34. He says, when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked them a question to test him, trying to tempt the Lord, test the Lord. That never works out. He says here in verse 36, teacher, which commandment is the law in the law is the greatest? Verse 37, he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul and with all your mind. That's the first and greatest commandment. The law they had back then, first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch we call it, or the Torah in Hebrew, the summation of all that is that right there. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Everything we got. Verse 38, this is the greatest and first commandment. Verse 39, and a second like is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all of the law, and he says even all of the prophets. That's the rest of the Bible. The whole Bible hinges on that, loving God and loving our neighbors. So we see what love is. Love is defined by a lot of things. We look around here in this world, they'll define love and they'll get it confused with a different word that starts with an L. They like to use the word lust instead and call it love, but that's not love either. Love is from God. God is love. And what is love? In verse 4, it tells us of chapter 13, love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant. It says there first, love is patient. God is patient toward us. The Bible tells us we should be patient and loving towards one another, even as God is patient and forbearing to us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. We see all these lost people around us. We ought not to lose patience with them, but we ought to show God's love, even as God showed us. We look around. There's times when I was lost and didn't know the Lord, God Almighty, as Savior, when I was straight on the path to hell without the Lord, but God in His rich mercy saved me. He reached down and called my name, and praise God, He wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. He wrote yours. We need to stay close to Him. We don't want our names blotted out, as Revelation warns us. Stay in His love. Stay with Him. He says love is patient. God was patient with us. He's patient with you. So we ought to be patient with others. But we ought to also be patient with the Lord. Sometimes we can be impatient with God and want things our way instead of His way. What did Jesus say? Lord, not my will be done, but thine. John the Baptist said, He must increase, but I must decrease. Love is patient. We need to be patient and trust God's timing. He promised us in the book of Romans that He works all things to the good of those that love God, who are called according to His purpose. We can trust Him and know that God will take care of it all. He will turn the wicked that the devil sends for our good. Love is patient. Let's be patient towards Him and those around us. If we truly say we love God, the Bible says, if someone says they love God and hate their brothers and sisters, they're liars. It's not true. How can we love a God whom we cannot see if we hate brother or sister who we can see? It won't be there. It can't happen. Every person that's ever born is created in the image of God. That's why when even lost people can do good things down here below, because there's still that image of God. It's so damaged that without God's grace, it can never be redeemed. But nevertheless, every person is created in God's image, and God loves them, and He's paid the price on Calvary to be saved. So we too, as God is, should be patient. And not only that, it says their love is kind. Isn't God kind to us? We ought to be kind to those around us and show His love by patience and kindness. It says a lot more about the Lord by when we're acting, if we're acting in kindness. That's what we want to draw people to God and show Him this truth, show Him this love, because love is patient, but it is also kind. We can't say we love somebody if we treat them like dirt. We got to show this love that God has shown to us, those around us. He says here next, love is not envious or boastful. Envy, that's something that can get God's children in a lot of trouble. The Bible tells us in the book of Psalms, do not envy the wicked nor their ways, for they may be seen prosperous. One of these days it's going to vanish away, everything. The Bible tells us in the book of Peter that everything, the very elements, will be melted away, will be burned up and destroyed. We ought not to be envious about something around here down below. It's going to be burned up anyways. Let's lay our treasures in heaven where the love of God rules, and let His love rule in our heart. He says here, it is not boastful or arrogant or rude. Again, if we get our focus off of ourselves, we won't be boasting. The Bible tells us that we should never boast in anything except the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only thing worth boasting for. What have I done without God? What have you done? We've done nothing. The Bible says that our works are nothing more than filthy rags on our own. But when we give it to God, when we follow God, when we allow the Holy Spirit to work through us, then we can have clothed with white raiment, the Bible tells us. We can't boast in anything but what Christ has done on the cross for us, what the Holy Spirit is doing in our lives. We can't boast on anything else. So we can't be boastful about ourselves, because love is not boastful, nor is it arrogant, it says, or rude. It's not going to be about arrogance. Puffed up. The Bible tells us that the lost are puffed up. If we're puffed up walking around in arrogance and what we've done and how good a person we are, we're very, very misled from the Word of God. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We need God's grace every day. Grace to sustain us. Grace for every need. Without it, we're nothing. Without the Lord Jesus, we're nothing. Without Him, we are alone, the Bible tells us. He says here, it is not boastful or arrogant. In verse 5, He says, or rude. God's love's not rude. Nor should we be rude. We need to be careful. The Bible talks about the tongue and what a powerful thing it is. We use it for one moment to bless God. Then the next moment, the book of James tells us we use it to curse our brothers and sisters. The Bible says this ought not to be so, brothers and sisters. We ought to be showing God's love with our tongues. What a powerful thing it is that God wrote this book right here. It is the Word of God written for us. We need to be using the Word of God to show His truth in love around us. The Bible says we should speak with grace, seasoned with salt, seasoned with the truth. Make it savory. Make it the truth of the Word of God. He says it should not be rude, because love is not rude. In the following verse, it says it does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. If we're truly loving God and loving our neighbor, we're not going to be insisting on our own way at the expense of others around us. We're going to insist on God's way, because God's way never fails. I'm a different person than you. We're all different individuals in here, and praise God for that. But the only way we can ever be on one accord, one unity, is if we get ourselves out of the way and get in God's way. Get our ways out of the way. His ways are higher than our ways, He says. His plans are higher than our plans. We can trust Him and follow His ways. His ways never fail. Our ways always do without Him. It's amazing. God knows the future. He knows the present. He knows the past. He knows all things more deeper than we ever could. We can trust Him and follow His way and His word. Love is not a feeling. If we truly love God, we're going to follow His word. Remember, as Jesus tells us, if you love me, keep my commandments. If we love Him, follow the word of God. Lord, help us to do that. And we can only by the Holy Spirit. He says there, does not insist on its own way. A lot of times we can follow our feelings or follow some other voice around us, even follow the voice of the devil himself, instead of following the voice of the word of God. It's where we get off. It's where instead of following a straight and narrow way, we start zigzagging like one of these windy roads. We want to stay on the straight and narrow way, following the Lord all the way to eternity. Let's not make our turn to the right or to the left. Jesus says, if you turn back from that plow, you're not worthy of following me. We have to stay straight on the line. Lord, help us to do that. It does not insist on its own way. Also, it says it is not irritable or resentful. We as God's people should not be irritable or resentful to those around us. How do we do that? It's for people. People get aggravated sometimes. People aggravate one another. The only way we can do that is by leaning on the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, He don't get aggravated with us. He's not resentful or irritable towards us. He's always loving. He'll chastise us. He'll whip us into shape sometimes to get us back on the way. But He's never irritable towards us. What God does, it's always out of love. So too should we be living that love toward others around us. It's not irritable or resentful. The Bible says, but you can grieve the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit, wherein you are sealed unto redemption. We don't want to grieve Him. We want to live for Him by showing love toward those around us. And it's not irritable or resentful. We shouldn't resent what God's let someone borrow for just a season down here below. We're all borrowed. Every penny we've got is just borrowed for a little while. God's lent it to us for a season. He may call us, and like He did old Job, it's time to give that back right now. We never know what tomorrow will hold, but we can trust God. We can go ahead and go to bed tonight and say, thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness in the morning, because He will show it. In verse 6, it tells us that love does not rejoice in wrongdoing. We see all this around us down here below. People saying, love this, love that. Brothers and sisters, love is from God. As we see, whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. If someone's claiming something is love, but it's against the word of God, it is not love at all. It says there, it does not rejoice in wrongdoing. We're not going to rejoice when someone's turned away from the Lord. That's not loving towards them. We should pray for them to come to Him. It's not rejoicing by allowing things in God's house that are not anywhere near in accordance with the word of God. That's not love. Love does not rejoice in wrongdoing. The Bible teaches us when someone's falling away, when they're turning back to perdition from the ways of God, we're to encourage them to come back. We don't pick up the Bible and whoop on the side of the head and say, get back here. We show them God's love. We open it. It's a loving thing. God's word is a letter of love towards us, towards you, because God is love. He says here, it does not rejoice in wrongdoing. We're not going to rejoice when someone's turning back towards the ways of Egypt land, going back to hell. We don't want to rejoice in that. We want to rejoice in those following the Lord, because God is love, He says. It says it does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It rejoices in what the Word says. Thy Word is truth, Jesus says. Sanctify them by Thy truth. The Bible tells us it is God's will for me, for you, for us all to be sanctified, be going forth. John Wesley encourages us all. He encouraged them back then, encourages us today to go on to perfection, be renewed. That's the image of God being renewed within us by faith in Jesus Christ, by trusting in the Word of God. Love does not rejoice in wrongdoing. It's not a rejoicing thing when we're falling away, but rejoices in the truth of the Word of God. But we can always rejoice in that. In verse 7, it says, it bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. It bears all things. It's forbearing towards those around us. It bears others up. It bears burdens. God's love bears burdens. Well, a lot of times we can carry burdens around here in this globe, heavy loads down here. God didn't want us to carry that. Love bears it. Bear ye one another's burdens, the Bible says, and so fulfill the love of Christ. We help one another down here below. That's how you fulfill the love of Christ. It says it believes all things. Well, a lot of times here down here below, we're a lot more apt to believe dirt on somebody than goodness on somebody. We ought to be believing all things of truth, of the Word of God. We ought to be believing good about people, showing God's love about them, and not being slanderous down here below. but showing the love of God. It believes all things. It also believes the Word of God. From Genesis 1 to Revelation chapter 2, it believes everything. The Bible tells us that the Word of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof. It says all Scripture, every bit of it, even those parts we don't read very often down there in Numbers and Deuteronomy, we may not skip through much, but every one of those, every verse, every jot or tittle, Jesus says, will not pass away to all be fulfilled. It's all God's Word. It believes all things. We love God, we'll believe what He says. When God says, "Fear not, for I've redeemed you, I've uphold thee with my right hand," He meant it when He said it, when He wrote it down, when He told Isaiah to write that down. He believed it. It's the truth. We should believe it. Let go. If God's redeemed you, go forth and follow Him in redemption. Hold on to the old ways. Hopes all things. It endures all things. It hopes all things. There's a lot of hope down here, as it says down here in the last verse of this chapter, of faith, hope, and love. That's the summation of God's glory in this world. Faith, hope, and love. It hopes all things. We can hope in the Word of God, believe Him. And it says it endures all things. It's not going to pass away. It's an enduring love. It's unconditional. God's love is different than worldly love. We should show it forth, whether someone loves you back or not. Whether the people, these lost people out here love God or not, God loves them just the same and sent Jesus. He'll love them all the way until the end of their life. In the last breath, God still loves them. And after that, the sad part is if someone rejects Jesus as Savior and they pass away, they go to a place that we refer to as hell. That's not where God wanted them. God wanted them in heaven because God's love endures all things. Hell was not created for people. Jesus says that it was created for the devil and his angels. People go to that terrible place because they refused God so long. But God's always open wide. His love endures all things. It's always there. While you've got breath in your lung, you've got enough breath to call to God and call upon His name. In verse 8 He says, love never ends. God's love never ends. But these other things, He says, but as for prophecies, they will come to an end. Every prophecy will get fulfilled one of these days. The Old Testament prophecies, the New Testament about the coming of the Lamb. We're waiting on Him. The Old Testament, it's all fulfilled. We're not waiting on Israel over there to do something such and such for Jesus to come back. And He could come back right now. We're not waiting on anything. Jesus said, watch and pray that you be ready and prepared for that time when it comes. He could come in every moment. We're not waiting on some other prophecy. As for prophecies, they will come to an end. Those have come to an end. When Jesus comes back, the rest of the prophecies, they'll come to an end. Time will be no more. Prophecies, they will come to an end one of these days. They are all fulfilled eventually. They're a real prophecy. They will be fulfilled. As for tongues, they will cease. One of these days, I speak English. Well, if we go over to Europe, there's people that speak Spanish or German or French or some other language. I don't know all those languages. I just do good to know English. That's all I can do. But one of these days, we'll all speak the same language. There'll all be one language in heaven. The tongues were confounded back there at Babel in the Old Testament. One day in the New Jerusalem, we'll all be one family, the family of God. Those prophecies, they'll cease someday. These tongues, they too, will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. We work down here below. A lot of times, we can work and work and work to find knowledge on something that's petty and will make no eternal difference. It's good to be a learned person and understand. Most of all, understand the Word of God. And it's enjoyable to learn about things, learn about God's wonderful nature. But we forget about things so often. For knowledge, it will come to an end. A lot of these things we learn, we'll just forget. All things we've already learned, we've done forgot. He says here in verse 9, for we know only in part. We don't know everything. We don't know the future. Half the time we can't remember the past, and we barely know what's going on around us sometimes. We know only in part, but God can see everything. He can see our minds. He can see one another's minds. He knows all things. For now, we only know in part, and we prophesy only in part. If you prophesy, God gives you a prophecy, believing, you don't see the future completely. You just see a snippet of it. Back there in these prophets, the Old Testament prophets, it's amazing to read them. Some of them prophesying about the Lord Jesus Christ. But they couldn't tell you how He's born, how He died on the cross of Calvary. They couldn't give you all the details. They just saw a little snippet. They prophesied only in part. We can look in the future at the prophecies God's given us. When Jesus comes back, we can get a glimpse of what heaven's going to be like by reading Revelation 21 and 22 about the new Jerusalem, the new heavens, the new earth. But we only know in part, He says. He says there, we prophesy only in part. Verse 10, but when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. We won't have to worry about it anymore. It's the whole thing comes. These things that pass away, the whole thing comes. When I was a child, he says, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. He says, when I was a child, I spoke like a child. I think of our son John that was just born. He can't talk yet. He'll get to that later on down the road. But right now, he can't talk. And as we too, when we're born again, the Bible says, except a man or woman be born again, they shall not see God. Unless you're born again, you will not be in the kingdom of heaven, the Bible says. You've got to be born again. Nicodemus said, how can someone go back to his mother's womb? He can't. It's a spiritual birth. Reborn in the family of God, a new creation. The Bible says that's where it starts. When we're born, we're a babe in Christ, a child of God. It is our job, our calling, the most highest calling, to be sanctified. The Bible tells us and bids us grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. We ought to be growing in grace today. Tomorrow, I should be closer to God tomorrow than I was today. And the next day, even closer. We should be closer to God next week than we was this week. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. As we grow deeper in God's love, deeper in His ways, we can more fully comprehend it. In the Old Testament, it talks about water proceeding out of the temple of God. And He had a measuring rod, and each time He kept measuring it. And it got deeper and deeper and deeper. It's one of the pictures of our walk with God. We are to get deeper and deeper with God, deeper and deeper and growing in grace, deeper and deeper in the gift of love. Love never ends, He says there in 8, verse 1. Excuse me, in first part of verse 8. Love never ends. Let's grow in grace. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. Our words were as a child. I thought like a child. The Bible says, be renewed. Excuse me. He wants us to be renewed in our mind by the Word and Spirit. God wants us to be renewed. He wants to change the way we think. As a child, I spoke like a child. Change what we speak. We should be growing in grace to change how we talk and we think. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. As we grow in God's love, it changes how we think. It changes what we think to those around us. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. As we grow in sanctification, grow in God's love, the old ways further and further. What was the problem with the children of Israel as they were marching through the wilderness? They got out of Egypt. God protected them and put them through the Red Sea. But the problem was they took Egypt with them. They wouldn't leave it behind. So many times God's children won't leave Egypt behind. Egypt's a picture of our slavery to sin before we're set free and born again. So many times we want to pull it with us. Pull the Egyptian ways with us. The ways of sin. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. We need to put an end to the ways of Egypt in our lives and grow in God's grace and love. They kept marching. You know, that 40 years in the wilderness, it didn't take 40 years to get where they were going. They just marched in circles all the time because they wouldn't follow God. They were a stiff-necked people. We can be the same way so many times. If we're not growing in grace and love, we're not putting an end to the old ways. In verse 12, for now we see in a mirror dimly. We're looking in a mirror in a dark room. We're just seeing it dimly. But then we will see face to face. We only see a small little bit of it, a fraction of what's really going on. But when we get there, we'll truly see God. Now I know only in part. Then I will know fully. When we get to heaven, we'll know fully. Right now, down here below, we need to be growing in grace, growing closer. And now faith, hope, and love abide. These three. And the greatest of these is love. He's talking about us. Love never ends. Love of God never ends. Faith, hope, and love. As they said in the olden days, the three cardinal virtues, they used to call them. Faith, putting our faith in Jesus Christ. Faith in God. The Bible says we walk by faith, not by sight. One of these days, we'll just walk by sight when we're next to God in the New Jerusalem. And hope, our blessed hope of the Lord Jesus Christ coming again. That's something we can count on. Our hope and salvation that God has taken our sin away and laid it on the cross of Calvary with Jesus Christ. And He's gave us His righteousness. We can hope on that every day. We can have our faith in Him. We can put our hope in Him. And we can have the love of God, knowing that He loves us. He loves you. He loves me. These three. But what's He say here? The greatest of these is love. Because what are those three will be with us in heaven? Only love will. Faith and hope, we won't be hoping for something if you see it. If I'm hoping to see a cloud and I go out there and look at it, I'm not hoping to see one anymore, I'm seeing it. I'm not having faith if I'm down here below and I can't see the sky. If I'm having faith that it's there, if I go out and look up, well, it's there. I'm not having faith that it's there. I see it. We have faith in God. We hope in His Word. And we can love Him. When we pass away and we're in the New Jerusalem, what will we have? We'll have love with us. That doesn't negate hope and faith. That's vital down here below. Without faith, no one can see the Lord. Without holiness, no man can see the Lord, Hebrews tells us. Faith is how we're saved. We're saved by grace alone, through faith alone. But when we're in heaven, all we will have is the love of God. That is the summation of God right there. God is love. He tells us here in chapter 13 the necessity of love. He told us its nature and properties in verse 4 and 7. And the duration. All these things are going to come to an end one of these days. Except the love of God. We should be loving Him, as Jesus said, with all our heart, with all our mind, and with all our soul, and love our neighbors as ourselves. On these two commandments hang all of the law and the prophets. We need to be getting practice showing God's love, not a worldly love, not a fleshly love, but the love of God. Now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. The greatest of these is love. In verse 1 of chapter 14, pursue love and strive for spiritual gifts. Notice the order he put it there. Pursue love first. Pursue love with God and our neighbor, and strive for spiritual gifts, and especially that you may prophesy. Before we can get to the prophesying and the spiritual gifts, we've got to have the love of God in our hearts to those around us. So let's all bow our heads. I want to ask you to take a moment and reflect on your life. Is the love of God flowing through you to those around you? Or is there a corner in your heart that you love more than God? A corner, a little sin that you're allowing in your life that you love more than God, that's keeping you from showing that love to Him and to your neighbors? It makes a difference when we truly love God. If we're close to God and we love Him the most, the fruit we show forth, as John Wesley would say, from inward and outward holiness. We got to have the inward holiness first from the love of God. Then it flows forth to the outward holiness, how we're living our lives, for those around us to see and to know that God loves them through us. Well, it's got to start with loving God first. It starts on the inside. So just take a moment and talk to Heavenly Father and reflect on that and pray to Him. Father, we thank You, Lord, for this day. We thank You, Lord, for Your Word that's sharper than any two-edged sword. Lord, that it pierces those around us, but Lord, that it pierces our hearts. Help us all to live in Your love, the love that never fails. Help us to be beacons of that, Lord, to be Your light in this dark and weary world, as we wait Your coming, Lord, that we can say with every breath, even so come, Lord Jesus, and be prepared for that moment, because we know You and we love You. Bless each and every one of the people as gathered here together, Lord. We thank You for their presence, both in the building and outside. And bless us by the power of Your Holy Spirit to live for You. Through Christ Jesus our Lord, we pray. Amen. Amen. It's been a blessing to be here with you at the Lord's house. If you'll stand with me.